Hey, wonderfuls, welcome to episode 329 of the podcast with my wonderful Boy of Summer guest and Voyage to the Stars podcast co-star Colton Dunn. Voyage to the Stars is our improvised slash scripted space adventure comedy podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts. We are on it with our fabulous co-stars Felicia Day and Steve Berg. And Colton and I are getting together to chat about this and that, in part celebrating the fact that we'll be doing a season two with our new addition to the cast, Kirsten Vangsness from Criminal Minds. So it's going to be really fun. Check that out. Enjoy this episode. I find Colton to be a delightful human being. And speaking of delightful human beings, Irene sent me a beautiful email that I am long overdue in thanking her for. So thank you, Irene. Please know that the delay in acknowledging it is no reflection on my appreciation. Okay, guys, enjoy the episode. And that's pretty much it.
Wow, cool.
Now, I do this voice for this podcast. I do kind of a, I'm just about to let out a huge gasp of air. It's kind of a character I do. I guess I didn't warn you about that.
No, that's cool. What warn me about what? This totally normal voice that you have.
What if that were true? Walked you through a handful of things, and then I just had a really insufferable voice that I used, and you just had to get used to it. You could roll with it.
I try.
You got what it takes.
I got the chops.
Thank you for coming over. We're sitting side by side on a couch.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I sit on the floor. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been having some neck problems, and I realized, why am I going to put myself through that kind of torture?
Yeah, you don't need to do that. Right, you have here a couch.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Well, I'd like
your
you to
neck
tell me, because that's
something's
what
wrong
this
with your
is
neck.
Yeah, fair enough. That is what's going on. So I'm not going to kvetch about that.
Okay.
I've now said two words I hardly ever say. Bubbalo was one of them.
Oh, yes. You have to listen to the Wolverine ad to hear that one.
That's called cross promotion right there. What is going on? How's your summer treating you? You're wearing a Voyage to the Star shirt, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, I wear this shirt almost every day.
That's a great
that's
shirt.
How good my summer's going. Summer's going great. Yeah, I can't complain. Enjoying the weather. Took a little trip with my daughter out to see where I grew up in St.
Nice.
Paul, Minnesota.
And, perfect segue, since I talk to people about their teenage years.
Oh, cool.
How
yeah
gross and perfect is that?
That's pretty nasty.
I don't want to assume that the only reason you went there was to have the segue for this podcast.
That's the only reason I went on the trip.
I knew it. God, I'm important to you.
Yes.
God, I'm important to you. Minnesota?
Yes.
You grew up in Minnesota. And had your daughter ever been out there?
This was her first time there.
Nice. And yeah, how old's your daughter?
She's 3.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I wonder how much she'll remember. You can probably take her back a couple more times.
And yeah, I'll probably take her back a few more times.
Familiar.
I don't know if she'll remember anything about it. I took her to like where I went to school, into the old park that I used to play at and stuff like that.
That's so cool. Do you still have family there?
I do. My mom still lives there, yeah.
Right on. Do you have siblings?
I have a stepbrother, a stepsister, and a half-brother.
Okay. Listen, there's so many blended families these days.
Blended up.
I kind of always thought maybe I would end up with them, because I'm an only child and both my parents are foxy. But and they split up when I was really young, and neither one of them ever remarried.
Oh, well, because they're smart.
And if my dad has other children, he has not told me. But that's what 23andMe is for.
Yeah,
from
exactly
what I understand. Have you done that?
I've done the Ancestry one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the differences are. There's ones that I know can test you for diseases. I have no interest in that.
Oh, well, they give you the raw data from your genetic profile, and you can put that into any disease testing thing.
Gotcha.
That'll tell you that stuff. I don't know. It was one of those things where, like, with a lot of apps and stuff, like, I get really into it for like a week,
uh-huh,
and then I never look at it again. So that's kind of how this was. I was like, oh, wow, look at this. Oh, cool. Look at this. These are my cousin's stuff. And now I probably haven't opened up the app in like a year.
And so there wasn't a kind of moment where you were like, oh my God, I've been connected with my.
No.
Insert.
No, and I think what ended it was for me was that somebody sent me a message, was like, oh my goodness, you're on Superstore and we're second cousins. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, I'm done looking at this app. Listen, give me some money.
Yeah, I was going to say, listen, I got some great yet tragic things that I need you to help me with. I haven't done it yet. And my dad has now done it. And for some reason, once he did it, I kind of felt even more like I didn't need to. I was like, no, it's...
You got most of the story
there. Half the information that I would get.
There you go.
Yeah. And then my aunt, my mom's sister, is huge into like family trees and genealogy. So yeah. I already have...
So she's got it all there.
She's got so much of it there.
Well, then you don't need to do it.
Does it take you back to like... These are some of the countries of origin
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it shows you like all the countries of origin and like kind of the paths that your ancestors must have taken.
Next trip with your daughter.
That's right.
Every single one of Cameroon. Those places. I don't know if I'm proud of this or if I'm ashamed by this, but over the weekend, I was at Clusterfest, and I was just there was a lot of walking involved in San Francisco. Love to walk. Great city for
that.
Town. But I passed by a place called the Eritrean Community Center, and I turned to Brandon and said, what's the Eritrean? Like, what is Eritrean? And he said, well, Eritrea is a country in Africa. And I said, I've never.
Eritrea.
E-R-E-T-R-E-A, I think.
Okay.
So we started doing a little research, and I found out that I had precious little knowledge of many African countries, so I took it upon myself to memorize all of them.
Oh, no.
The reason they said that is because Cameroon, right in there in the seas, along with Comoros. There are a lot of countries that I had not heard of, and one of them is called Mauritius, and it is quite large and is in like
Mauritius?
Central Africa.
I feel like I knew a guy named Mauritius.
This is what I'm talking about.
Okay, so Mauritius.
Then, of course, I run into Fred Armisen,
central?
And he rattles almost all
he knows
of them
all
off.
Of them. Well,
he's just
yeah.
like, well, what about...
He's a madman.
I was
man.
Like, you are an insane motherfucker in the best way.
So Mauritius is somewhere in the middle of Africa?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. There's a lot I got still to learn. Mostly, I just know the names now.
That's good. Well, hey, that was... You know what? It's good that you took that upon yourself to go, you know what? I want to change this... Or fill this void in my, you know, sort of knowledge.
Evidently, it was a void I didn't even know I had. So there was just, it was a wild ride this weekend.
Wow.
Also, there were some comedy shows. I barely remember it because I was so focused on...
You're focused on learning the African countries. So have you memorized all the African countries?
Yeah. We're not going to go through it right now, but...
How many are there?
I don't know. I actually didn't count, but... I mean, I started counting, but I was walking, and so I was counting on my fingers, so I've lost track.
Man. I mean, there's got to be a lot.
There is a lot. I mean, I'll tell you this. Two A's. I can't believe I'm going on this much of a tangent. Two A's, four B's, I think five C's, no D's, at least five E's, no F's, I think six or seven G's, no H's, no I's. Oh, there is a D. Sorry, Djibouti. You can see why I would forget that because the D is sort of silent.
But it is a pretty funny
it's
name.
It's a great name. I don't know. Where are we in the adding up?
I think you said G's. You
K,
said no
only
I's.
One K, Kenya. L, three L's. M, I think there's eight M's. Three N's. I could just be making all this up. I didn't expect to go off on this Cameroon-based tangent, but when you said it, it like turned on my brain, and I suddenly remembered the hell I put myself through over the weekend.
Well, I'm impressed. That was impressive.
Oh, thanks, guys. This has been the JV Club Podcast. It's a quick 10-minute this time.
There we go. Hey, guys, so good.
A little bit about Colton.
A lot about what you just learned.
Precious little. What was your high school like? Was that a place that you kind of grew up and stayed, or did you move around?
No, I was in the same high school for all 4 years, St. Paul Central High School in St. Paul, Minnesota, and our mascot was the Minutemen.
Our mascot was Garrison Keillor. Does anyone ever say that?
No. what a bummer mascot for your high school.
What a soft-spoken, now
here's
somewhat
another story
controversial mascot.
Yeah, he got controversial. Yeah. it was a cool school. It was it was one of the bigger high schools in St. Paul, and it was its whole thing is that it kind of looked like a prison. It kind of looked very prisony. The thing there was always that they had like these fences around the school and barbed wire, but the barbed wire faced inwards.
That is very prison.
Yeah.
That is like protecting. It's like keeping us from getting in. Out. Yeah, for sure.
You know, and the, another thing is they, and I, you know, I don't know if this is still how it is, but they had magnet locked doors. So you could only go in and out through the main front doors. The other doors were locked by magnet.
That sounds like superhero
stuff. You couldn't open them up unless you, one, there was a fire alarm, or two, if you just kicked it like over and over and over again and just wore down the integrity of the magnet, then you could get it open.
What was it like that for a reason? Were there dust ups and stuff, or was it sort of?
I mean, it was a big school. There were a few dust ups. I mean, you know, it is a city. You know, there was, I believe, I want to say there was like five floors, like the basement floor, then one, two, and three, and four, and it was very much kind of split. You had like the bottom two floors were, you know, a lot of minorities. Maybe a lot of classes, you know, that weren't, you know, just kind of getting them through the pro school and out. And then the top two floors were like the college prep classes and all the gifted and talented and all that kind of stuff.
What a weird, like, that they were like, listen, we need this to physically also represent what's going on.
It was pretty weird. It was pretty weird that they did that. Yeah. And then in the basement, they had like the multimedia and the acting classes, and that's what I was in.
And
all of the ghosts, and also the daycare for the kids who had kids.
Oh, okay. God, it was a big school.
I come from a fair,
it was just a public school in the middle of Arizona. So, and it also, after I left, became much more of a lockdown school, but I'm not aware that there was a daycare. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it was 3,000.
That's really cool.
Students, something like that.
I mean, that's a really cool option to even have. I just don't even think young moms, like I had a friend who dropped out because she got pregnant, and I certainly don't remember anyone offering her the option of still coming and, you know, being able to drop her kid off.
Oh no, yeah, no, they had daycare there.
Nice. Also in the basement. Not a fan of that.
Not a fan of the basement. But it was a nice basement. I mean, it wasn't
it's not a dungeon.
It wasn't like the Babadook basement.
What were you a good student? What floors were you on the most? Well, you were in the theater, so that was downstairs.
I mean, I was I can't really say I was a good student. I did all right, but I got really into acting sort of my, you know, junior year. And once I did that, then everything else just kind of like suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pretty much just got by just being like a nice guy that the teachers liked, so they didn't care that I was not doing any of the work. So I had like a few classes where they were like, you know, if it was like a really mean teacher or a teacher who was doing their job, they'd be like, well, no, I'm not going to pass you just because you're a nice person.
Right.
But then there were other teachers that were like, oh, whatever, dude, just, you know what, man, can you just write a paper about why you, you know, like to act, and then I'll give you an A or something like that, you know? So, you know, yeah, it wasn't great. But I always kept like a C average, for the most part. And
what kind of locked in your interest in theater for you? Was there anything specific, or did it just kind of?
I mean, I just really loved to do it.
Done it before up till high school?
I had done like a few things before. In junior high, I was in Aesop's Fables, a musical circus.
Did you play an animal?
I played a clown. I played Eggy the clown. Everybody else was animals, but I was a clown.
I'm trying to remember the clown parable.
Yeah, I don't know. I was an Eggy the clown, and I juggled, so I had to learn how to juggle.
I've never learned how to juggle. I was a theater major. So many people have tried to teach me how to juggle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can juggle a little bit. I can't really do it too well anymore. But in doing that, there was a couple days a week where we had shows, I think on Thursday and Friday. So I'd get to leave school and just get on the bus and go to downtown St. Paul and do a show.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that's, you know, where I was like, yeah, I think I want to do this. So this is cool.
Someone thinks this is important enough for me to miss school, mm-hmm. yet I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. What kind of crazy treasure trove have I come across?
Yeah, it was great. And so I did that, and then I got into doing improv in high school.
Nice.
With a company called Comedy Sports. That had a high school league. And so between that and then being in the acting program, and the program there was like we didn't do other people's plays. Every year what the course was is that we wrote a play, and it would be about like stuff that was going on in our lives, you know. So it had a lot to do with like racism and sexism, you know, stuff like that. And then like me and, you know, a couple other people who would just like to do comedy stuff would like be the sort of the comedy parts of those shows.
The Aesopian clowns, if you will.
The Aesopian clowns, uh-huh. Yes. And then again, we would tour that show around to the other public schools. So about halfway through the school year, I would get pulled out, you know, a couple days a week to go do a show at another high school.
God, that was not something that would take up so much time. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know how I would track other classes if I was gone all the time either.
Yeah, no, most of the acting students didn't.
Did you do like peer awareness stuff at other schools? Like, was that the kind of show you would do? Because I do remember that. I remember people coming.
You mean like don't bully other
out.
Kids
yeah.
and stuff? Oh yeah,
some
we definitely
acting,
did stuff
some scene
like that.
Work and don't buy drugs from people.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do so much don't buy drugs from people because people were all doing drugs, but. But a lot of like, no, don't bully, and you know, this guy thinks he's gay, and you know, this girl is pregnant, you know, like a lot of like stuff like that, where, you know, just very like high stuff. The lady who taught it, she was an amazing teacher named Jan Mandel, and she just really pushed all the kids to like really work with, you know, the diversity is our strength, and how do we celebrate everybody's differences and stuff like that.
It seems like it would be hard for a whole class to collectively write a play.
I mean, I think it would be, yeah. It would be. You know, but I think what it was very much like a workshop thing where it would be like, okay, everybody's going to write like, you know, write like, everyone write like a monologue about maybe something they're going through, and maybe like two of those monologues, they'd be like, okay, we're going to do that now. Everybody kind of write some scenes about some stuff. And then maybe two of those scenes would, and then it would just kind of put it all together. And, you know, then she'd bring in other artists from the community to come in. And, you know, maybe it's a musician who kind of comes up like with a little song that is sort of the theme song throughout the show that we keep going back to. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was pretty cool.
I wonder if they're still doing that.
I hope so. I hope that they're still doing that. I know she's not teaching at the school anymore, but I sure hope that the theater program's still going.
That's really empowering. The idea of creating your own material, I think, is something that I really would have, like, it would have boosted my confidence doing things like writing and directing, like all that kind of stuff beyond just taking words and memorizing them and then doing them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never did. I did plays in theater companies outside of high school, but in high school, I never did like a, you know, like a high school, you know, production of Rent or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the theater sports stuff you were doing, that was kind of, you were meeting other high school kids from all from elsewhere in St. Paul?
Sort of, yeah. The way it started is the league was in each school. Each school had a team. So, you know, I auditioned for it and got put on the team, but the rehearsals for it were the same time as basketball, and I was on the basketball team. And so I quit the basketball team to do this. And then basically every weekend we would have shows in Minneapolis. So we'd rehearse during the week, and the weekend there'd be shows in Minneapolis where we'd go up against other high schools and play.
And how close are, I'm sorry that I don't know this, but Minneapolis and St. Paul, how close are they?
Oh, they're very close. I mean, it's just the river in between, the Mississippi River. So there are two cities on either side of the river.
Is there a sense of rivalry and or just blanket statements that one city would make about the other? I ask that because I just listened to a Kansas City Mo versus Kansas City K kind of thing.
Definitely.
Where, you know, there's like a blank, like, oh, they're snobs. Oh, they're mean, or they're whatever.
Oh, sure. I mean, Minneapolis, people from Minneapolis definitely think that their city is much better than St. Paul, that they're a real city. St. Paul would probably think, yeah, like Minneapolis is a little uppity and like, you know, it's, they take themselves a little too seriously, and St. Paul's a much prettier city. These are what I would imagine people right. say. I never really got into that too much. I mean, maybe a little bit in you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, Minneapolis, whatever. But I loved them both. You know, I think they're great. And even just going back, it's like it's all just one place.
Yeah.
It's not really. I don't really see the difference between the two.
Yeah, that's certainly what I imagine. I'm quite bummed that I just haven't spent that much time up there. I've been to Wisconsin. And I thought that I was going to be in Madison, and then it turned out I was just in some like water park resort that was so far from Madison. I didn't even really get a sense.
Wisconsin Dells?
Yeah.
Yeah! I've been in the Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
Did you ride the ducks?
I've talked about this, I think, maybe once before, but I was there in the winter.
Oh,
and
no.
So, yeah. So I flew into wherever I flew into and then was picked up and taken to the Dells. So I just like huddled out of the car with like the freezing wind. There was snow on the ground. I walked in, my teeth chattering, I'd like to check in, please. And then behind me, ding, the hotel elevator doors open and two children came out screaming in bathing suits, soaking wet. And I was like, like it was so jarring.
Kind of indoor pool that they're
hanging out in?
Yeah,
it's a whole indoor water park.
Oh my God.
So it's hot and it smells like chlorine just immediately.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's definitely a trip, and it's very much like a huge highlight.
And you got a super bug there. And
I probably did. Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. I don't know how to fix mornings for myself. I do not know how to make mornings okay for myself.
So the t-shirt, I don't do mornings, yes. Isn't even a funny shirt. I shouldn't get it for you.
It's sad.
It's a sad shirt.
Yeah, it's a sad shirt with tears flowing.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The comedy sports thing, was that more short form, like sort of game?
Definitely,
type
yeah.
Stuff?
It's short form. Comedy sports is two teams of athletes. Mm-hmm. You cool with that?
I mean, I guess I have to be.
So two teams of athletes go head to head, and they play short form improv games based off of audience suggestions. So maybe one team will get up and do a scene of forward reverse, and then the next team will get up and do a game of dime store novel, and then the audience will vote which one they think is funnier.
So it really is like a more competitive.
It's definitely competitive. Oh, yeah.
I think I would take that poorly.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved it. We won. I mean, we won every year that I was in it.
Through the whole, like, you won from the entire kind of
region? We beat everybody, yeah, yeah. Ooh, it was me and Nick Swartzen, who's also
a comedian. Oh, my God, really?
And, yeah.
Holy shit.
And then a couple other people.
That's great. Did you have certain games that you felt like, you're like, listen, I really can flex my...
Oh, yeah, Five Things, man. Five Things was a game where you had to use gibberish and mime to get somebody to guess stuff, and I was really good at that.
Oh, wait, just give me a little more information, because I don't think I've ever played that.
Okay, so Five Things. I mean, you know, it would be sort of like, it's sort of like kind of like that a celebrity, which I'm sure you've played.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're trying to get somebody to guess. You might say, okay, let me get an activity, bowling. Okay, so the person is bowling, but instead of a bowling ball, they're using what? Pig's head. Okay, they're using a pig's head, and the pins aren't pins. They're, what famous group of people?
Okay. Oh, you're asking me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure.
Does it have to be the amount of people that are in the amount of bowling pins?
No, it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
The cast of Lost.
The cast of Lost is the bowling pins. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the bowling alley is not like at a traditional bowling alley location. What location is this bowling alley happening?
I would say the Wisconsin Dells, but I guess that's pretty normal.
You could
like
say the Wisconsin.
In a water park, like it's a wet situation.
It's in a water park? Okay, yeah. Great. So you'd get five things like that. And then the person you would have sent somebody out of the room. You bring them back in the room, and their team members have to get them to guess what they're doing, but only using mime and gibberish.
Okay.
So first you'd get them to you'd use mime and gibberish to get them to guess that they're bowling.
Yeah.
And then somebody would come in and they'd take the ball and they'd throw it away, and then they'd mime a pig coming out and cutting off its head. giving them the head of a pig.
They would mind the ritual sacrifice. Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
And then they go, okay, all these pins, those aren't pins. And, you know, that's actually the cast of smoke monster. You know how they're going to do that. And then, you know, make sure that they know that they're at a water park. And the person guesses at the
end. So you completely slay with, like, party games like this.
Oh, I crush it.
And do you stand up and say, pardon me, I've been trained?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. I can't wait to do it.
How charming.
I cannot wait to do that.
So you had your own team of your high school mates, and then you would compete against other
schools.
Teams.
Yeah.
How did your dating life kind of factor into, if you had one, factor into the kind of...
I didn't really have a dating life. Yeah, you know, because I was like so into... I was so into like comedy and doing that stuff. So I just did, like, I didn't have a girlfriend until I left high school. That's when I had I first started dating somebody.
Yeah.
But in high school, I was just like never.
Were you so it wasn't a shyness thing, or it really was just kind of like, focused.
Sure, there had to be an element of shyness, that it was just like easier to not do that than to just focus on, you know, being funny and having fun and, you know, hanging out with people. But it's like because I was like, I literally just stayed in the theater classroom. So I would go out every once in a while to other classes, but I didn't really hang out with other people. I was also totally sober in high school, because I was in another touring theater company, similar time, that would go out every once in a while and do sort of more like,
oh, I don't feel so good.
I'm ODing. Yeah. Like I did this group. They were called Schizos.
No. And
I'm not lying.
The Skits were called Schizos.
No, the group called Schizos.
Okay,
and they ended up having they ended up changing the name because they got like somebody reached out and was like, hey, that's kind of offensive that you call yourself Schizos.
Yeah.
So I forget what they changed their names to, but while I was in it, it was called Schizos. Uh-huh. And you had to sign an agreement that you wouldn't do, you wouldn't drink and you wouldn't do drugs.
And you took that seriously.
And I took it seriously.
Do you feel that everybody else did as well, or were there people who were like, listen, I signed this thing?
I mean, I think maybe some other people didn't take it seriously, but, you know, again, it was like, I like very much wasn't concerned with what other people were doing.
That's
when
great.
I was young. Yeah.
Yeah. And rare. I mean, yeah. I feel like what I think has come up over so many 300-ish of these episodes is just how frequently there's like either a sense of profound insecurity and wanting to look around to see what everyone else is doing, or like the freest you ever feel in your life for some people, because you're just like, I don't give a shit. I was wearing, you know, I wore a paper bag and I thought I was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or in my case, I think like a really weird balance of both, where there were some things that I was just like, fuck you to the world about and kind of wish I had now. And then there were other things that I cared so deeply about that involved other people's opinions that I'm so glad to be rid of. But I don't know where, I don't know why some things I was like super cool about and some things I wasn't. I have no idea what created that like combination.
Yeah, me either.
But there you were. Just being a badass out there, like
just doing it, being a badass. But I mean, nobody thought I was a badass. Everybody thought I was a weirdo.
Because you were gone all the time.
Because I was gone all the time.
Mystique.
But you know, I also like, you know, like I did.
You quit the basketball team.
I quit the basketball team, but like, you know, I was just kind of weird. Like I one day, so they had a dress up day for school, and it was meant for dress up day to be like dress up in like a suit, you know, something like nice like that. Well, I got the red Power Rangers outfit and I wore that to school.
Great.
And I was like, woo, they said dress up. They didn't say you can't dress up like this, you know. And people were just like, what? Like, you know, but yeah, you know, I think it also probably just had to do with my mom. Like my mom was like, sure, that sounds funny. You know, like she didn't, she was never like, oh, well, you know, what do you think other people are going to think? Like there was never that kind of instilled in me of like, oh no, what, you know, what do you think other people are going to think? It was always like, oh, that's silly, Colton. Why don't you try to do it?
That's cool. Yeah. I feel like my dad was definitely more, I certainly didn't have the experience of having parents who were like, I'm sorry, you're planning to do what?
Yeah.
Like there was definitely just sort of a, like, I guess when you're a teacher, you're not really making a living anyway. So you're not like, well, you'll starve if you, you know, want to be an actor. You're like, yeah, it's probably about commensurate. Like, yeah. You'll probably end up doing about the same thing.
Yeah.
But I still kind of felt guilty that I wasn't. And I still do sometimes feel guilty that I'm not. Like, I like sort of teaching or imparting or anything that I can do that kind of facilitates that same sort of like, yeah. If I made your life a little better.
So is that your parents were teachers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mom is a teacher.
Yeah. Oh, nice. What grade did she teach?
Well, she taught autistic kids. She's an autism specialist at this point, but yeah.
That's amazing. That's hard work.
Yeah, it was hard work. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that as a person who has very, you know, is autism very, very close to me and the family and stuff. And those are people special, any kind of special needs teachers.
Yeah.
Like Steve Berg's wife. Are out there doing great work, and I wish that there was all the money and all the funding and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
What music were you into?
Rap. Mm-hmm. I liked hip hop and rap. That was pretty much it.
Did you ever write your own?
Raps?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I really felt like that could go either way. The way you asked was just incredulous enough that it could go either way. Like, raps? No, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, I think one of my raps was chilling at the petting zoo, moo moo moo, chilling at the petting zoo. How about you? that was a rap.
Were you, may I ask, chilling at a petting zoo when you?
No, we were just. We thought petting zoos were so like weak, and we were like, what if we made a rap about petting zoos?
Because that's not weak. Yeah.
That's not weak.
Oh my God. I'm laughing as if I didn't like write a parody of Simon and Garfunkel's Feeling Groovy called Feeling Groggy when I was in grade school and junior high. I for sure expected to be the next Weird Al.
Oh, that's hilarious.
For 5 minutes, and then I realized that wasn't going to happen.
Well, for graduation, Nick and I performed, I don't even remember how all these songs went. But they were all like, we did like a medley of TV show songs that we put stuff from our school in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you
so
did.
So it's like, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have Central, you know, like stuff like that.
That's satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you learn very early, that people really enjoy a shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy anything where you can fold in something that feels personally meaningful on whatever level.
It doesn't have to be kind of organic or anything. Yeah. It just has to be jammed in there, and they're like, all right.
He loves me in this. Oh, my God. And did you sort of dress in a hip-hop type manner of when you weren't wearing your Power Rangers suit?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I definitely went through, and I still am pretty much exactly the same, where like I find something that I like to wear, and then I buy a bunch of those things, or I wear a bunch of those things, and then one day I'll be like, I don't like that anymore, and then I'll be like, oh, but this is cool, and then that's all I wear.
So you have a uniform almost.
Kind of, yeah. And I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was going through that. So probably the first year of high school. And into my sophomore year, I only wore Michael Jordan t-shirts.
Okay.
Only Michael
How
Jordan
t-shirts.
How many
different ones did you have?
I probably had 12 Michael Jordan t-shirts.
That's impressive.
I had a lot. And
how many do you think are out there that you didn't have?
You mean like prints of Michael Jordan t-shirts? Oh, hundreds. I mean, there's thousands of Michael Jordan t-shirts.
I guess I'm wondering if you ever thought like someday... I'm going to have them all.
I have every single one. But my favorite one was a jersey that was actually like, it was like the photograph of Michael Jordan on the jersey. I thought that was so cool.
How big was it like his whole body fit on the jersey?
It was like probably from his waist up.
So it's almost like you have a small Michael Jordan.
It was almost like there was
right
a little
standing
Michael Jordan
right in front of you all the time.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, Michael Jordan's with me.
Did you ever get? Have you ever met Michael Jordan here?
No.
I don't want to brag, but
here?
I did a Hanes commercial with him.
Oh, you know what? I heard about that.
Yeah.
I have a friend who did a Hanes commercial with Michael
Jordan. Yeah, they did a bunch of, they did like a whole series of them.
Yeah, my friend Eric Price. Did a Hanes commercial. Might have been the same campaign.
They definitely did a thing where when I got there, someone did say like, okay, so please don't make eye contact with Michael
Jordan.
They said
the same
thing to
Eric.
Until he makes eye contact with you. And you hear things like that and you think, like, this guy is going to be such a jerk.
Yeah.
And then he was totally great. And then you walk away wondering, like, is it because he's so, he's, like, great and so his people think to set boundaries and that's a boundary? Or is, like, he enforcing that or does he want, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be weird to be approached. Like, when you're that famous, I'm sure you do just get approached endlessly.
Yeah. I think it's to try to kind of screen that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm sure, you know, that there's people who would overdo it,
right.
You know, and be like, hey. You know? And so they just go, you know what, just don't make eye contact with him until he makes eye contact with you.
Yeah.
But I do think that's a weird thing to do because it does make the person seem like they're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But very.
And it makes you super self-conscious in a way that most of us probably, like, then behave even more oddly than if you.
It's like Tyler Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have you ever heard. When people work with Tyler Perry, they're told to call him Mr. Perry, refer to him as Mr. Perry and Sir and stuff like that. And I think people are kind of like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's a little weird, but, you know, it's also just like making sure that people don't try to, like,
best friend.
Try to push through the boundary so quickly, you know?
I think that makes sense. God, I really feel like I've missed out. Would you start calling me Ms. Varney from now on?
Oh, no. Sorry, it's too late.
Do you think Tyler Perry would be willing to call me Ms. Varney?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Well, I've got a goal now. Thank God. Did you have non-comedy things that you were a big fan of? Like, you quit basketball, but did you continue to be a sports fan and enjoy watching sports? And, like, were those things, did you love going to the movies or watching SNL?
It was all comedy, I think. Probably until I was 20... maybe 28, 29. I like only wanted to do comedy, see comedy, talk about comedy, do stuff that had to do with comedy, and I liked music, but sports, didn't follow sports, cooking or like learning how to cook for myself or any of that stuff didn't start until I got into my 30s, any of that stuff. It was just all I cared about was comedy.
God, that's amazing.
And I had one other thing I want to add.
Yeah.
Then it was cross colors after Michael Jordan t-shirts.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
I'm constantly wearing cross colors gear.
Okay.
Head to toe. Like solid, like orange pants with a bright red poncho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting the word to be poncho after a bright red.
Mm-hmm.
You would have something on underneath a poncho.
Underneath the poncho? Yeah, probably like a cross colors t-shirt. Okay.
I got it. Where did you go to school? College.
I went to college for 2 weeks at the University of Minnesota.
So you studied at the U of Min?
U of Min. and I was there for 2 weeks and then I left and moved to New York.
I got to give it up for somebody who has that sort of drive and that kind of ambition and that big of a fan of something that you're like, look, this is what I want to do. Because I absolutely did not have that at all.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go, what happened when you went out to New York? Did you move out by yourself?
I moved out with about three friends. We all decided to move out, but I went out first and got an apartment for myself and this other guy. And then my other friend came out and he was doing the NYU film program. And we just, you know, started doing comedy out there. There was a comedy sports out there. So I played with those guys and, did a lot of stand up back then and, you know, just tried to get into comedy, worked at video stores and did comedy.
Oh, that was such a, if there's something I mourn about the death of the video store, it is like the culture of like the cool, weird movie fans who have whatever the rest of their life is also somehow reflects back like, oh yeah, that makes sense that you work in a video store.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Including my two Sketchfest partners, Dave and Cole, both worked at the video store.
Yeah, man.
And still Cole still has that just like amazing arcane deep knowledge of just a tremendous amount of movie stuff.
Yeah, I still have that up to a certain year. I can, you know, I can recommend the movie or know what it is that you're talking about.
What if it's not funny?
If it's not funny, then I would know about it then because I was, you know, I had to work at the video store. So like really great directors, like I worked at the video stores I worked at were like specialty video stores.
Yeah.
Like Kim's Video in New York or TLA Video, which is a video store out of Philly that opened in New York. But they're all like very like you have to like the sections are split up by like director and like subgenres and all stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you watch a lot? I'm assuming a lot of those places get deep into foreign films too. Did you get into watching foreign films?
Yeah, I watched. Yeah, definitely. I watched a lot of foreign films.
I definitely. That was. There are so many things that at the time, I thought, like, this is probably pretty unique. Like watching a lot of foreign films as a college student. Like I think I really thought I was onto something.
Yeah.
And then I sort of get my distance from it. And I'm like, oh my God, I was having the most wonderful cliche growing up experience where I was like, I'm fairly sure I'm more cultured than anyone else here. Like I will absolutely watch that obscure, weird art house movie that may or may not be good, but I'll feel like I got it.
Yeah.
When no one else did. Oh, I got it.
Oh, no. Everybody got it. Everybody else got it.
Everyone else got it. Turns out everybody else. And at the end, none of us got it.
Nobody actually really got it.
We all said we got it. Nobody got it. I went to this. Oh, my God. I went to visit. I just flashed to this. I don't know if I've ever talked about this like in a way that would be on record before. But I went to visit a friend of mine who was at UC Berkeley when I was still in high school, and he was like, let's go to this art house movie theater in Berkeley, which what could be more of a cliche.
Course.
And we went, and it was this crazy Asian movie. I'm sorry that I can't remember if it was Chinese or Japanese, but it involved someone taking a horse's penis, and they cut off the horse's penis, much like the pig's head that turned into a bowling ball, and put it onto a human man.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was sort of the focus.
So the guy was like, I have a horse penis now.
Yeah. Like that was the.
And was it like a tragic story of like, I thought this was going to be great, but it's actually this.
How you learn your lesson.
Yeah.
It represents communism.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Seems like it represents capitalism.
Yeah. I think it was a comedy, but I definitely was. I do feel like I was shocked. Like I was.
Yeah.
I thought that I would have been cooler and seasoned enough that I wouldn't feel super weird and embarrassed being in that art house theater.
But were you just like,
but
oh,
I felt like, oh my, fanning myself like, oh no. And I can only remember bringing this up to one other person at some point in the last few years, and they fucking knew about that movie. They were like, oh yeah, that's blah blah blah, and I was like, oh
dude,
my.
I don't know about that movie.
You do not need to know about that movie. I look forward to my listeners cranking out the old Google and finding out what that is.
Was it good? Was it funny?
I don't remember. I was so shocked.
Man.
I couldn't even process it. At one point, I think a woman is doing calligraphy, but she has the paintbrush in her Susie.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. And it's like painting with her Susie.
Jesus, what kind of movie is this?
I know. I'll look it up after we finish this. I'm telling you, it was. I mean, it's not one of those things where like I describe it and you would go, oh, that's weird. I wonder why you're weird about that. It's one of those things where you're like, how? What? Are you sure this wasn't a dream? Did you dream this? How much pot did you smoke when you were in Berkeley?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a real thing. Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun. Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
I'm going to go ahead and start this mash game. I want to start
with
the category of, and I really hope your answer isn't a horse penis movie, three movies that it would be fun to be able to jump into. You're not a character reenacting the movie. It's just a world that's been built that it would be fun to like escape into.
Ooh,
three.
Okay. Three movies that I'd like to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Knowing you can pop back out. It's like you can dip into it. Maybe it's too intense to want all the
Fifth Element.
Great.
movies that I'd like to just pop right into. Oh boy, man. I'm trying to think. I don't want them all to be sci-fi, but that's what I'm kind of into when I think about it. But
yeah.
So Total Recall.
Great.
The original.
Oh yes. I haven't seen the remake. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Not worth seeing.
No, it's not. Good.
Alrighty.
And then let me see if I can get something that's not science fiction.
Listen, this is your MASH, so.
No, I know, but I want to give myself some diversity, you know, because it's going to be, it's my MASH. Mary Poppins.
Great. That's extra good because it's like wishing for more wishes and that they can jump into other things within the movie. So you got a lot of, that being said, boy, the idea of being able to laugh your way into like floating in midair was
a
bit of an obsession for me. I was like, I think that might be real.
Oh yeah.
Gotta get into it.
As long as you keep laughing, you keep on flying.
Yeah. And then when you combine that with the fizzy lifting drink from Willy Wonka.
Oh boy.
Oh, so much floating.
Yeah.
Those are fun dreams. I like the dreams where I'm sort of bounding rather than like actually flying really high.
I love that.
I like the sort of like low.
Yeah.
Low gravity. Low gravity.
Yeah.
I really had to think about what low versus high gravity would provide. Okay. Next category is three comedians, comedic actors, anything like that from any period in time that it would be amazing to sort of collaborate on something with.
I guess Jim Carrey.
Right.
Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Adam Sandler.
When did you start writing in on shows and stuff?
On television?
Mm-hmm.
When I moved out here, so 2005, I started writing on Mad TV.
That's a great, I mean, that's, again, when I think about what you were into and how dedicated you were to it, that's the story that you want to hear. Like somebody who's like, yeah, I fucking meant it.
Yeah,
and I love comedy. And I came out and I got a job and I was writing comedy rather than somebody who's like,
this is what I wanted to do.
I was a lawyer and then I just got the bug and then I stopped being a lawyer and then I had my own show. And you're like, wait, what?
The OA lady.
Yeah.
She's like an investment banker.
Exactly. Okay. Next category is three musicians, groups, anything like that, that at the snap of your fingers, they sort of are performing for you.
Okay. Well, these guys are all going to be around the same, but that's all right. I'll go Tribe Called Quest.
Great.
Beastie Boys, De La Soul.
Great. Love it. Okay. Three foods that in this reality are either, you know, high in calories or sort of ecologically you feel bad about it or you have an allergy to it or even something that's like just rare and hard to get your hands on. In this MASH world, you're going to be able to have it in perpetuity however much you want with zero negative ramifications.
Is there going to be a dessert ask or is this cover the desserts as well?
No, I'm going to do, we'll do savory and sweet in two separate categories.
Okay, great. So then fried chicken.
Great.
Pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess fresh baked bread.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir. Oh, God. Okay, great. And then how about the sweets?
Okay, so sweets, it's going to be peanut butter cups.
Oh yeah.
Chocolate cake.
Great.
And chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Great. That I like the simplicity of a good chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I can get behind. Okay, next category. This is a MASH game. This is always a component of a MASH game. Three people that in this alternate universe you have some romantic times. With. It can be a character from something. It can be an actor, anybody from any era, any age, like young,
okay. Well, I guess I'll try to dig from like my crushes when I was like in high school.
Great.
To help. So that would be Alyssa Milano.
Great. Yeah, you did.
And then let's see. I guess I'll go to like a fictional character. Oh. Yeah, this would also be a crush in high school, so I'll do that. Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm. Is that a character? No, that's just her in it.
Just Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then and Halle Berry.
Yeah. God, Jennifer Connelly. I had some confusing feelings about Jennifer Connelly.
I used to help. She used to come into the video store that I worked
in. Really?
At. Yeah.
Oh, those eyes.
She came into the video store that I worked for, and she was always really nice, and obviously I was like super happy to be, you know, to be helping her, you know, find movies and stuff. And then I watched Requiem for a Dream, and she like came in again like shortly after watching, was like, "Hey, what's up?" And I was like, "Hey." It's like, so I watched your movie Requiem for a Dream. Oh, did you like it? No.
That can't have surprised her. I've never met a single person who quote unquote liked that movie.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Boy. This is exciting. I've heartily approve of all of these choices. Three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home, whether you've been there or not, doesn't matter. And getting there is sort of no issue.
Okay. Amsterdam. Belize. And Maui.
Final category. I always put a lot of pressure on myself. Final category, three skills that you wake up with tomorrow that you've sort of downloaded Matrix style. Suddenly you're amazing at them without any practice.
Ooh, construction.
Great.
I guess I don't know what it would be, but like to know how to make money off the stock market.
First, you got to know what that's called. Yeah, I know. But like investment
banking. Okay, investment banking.
And I'll just put investments. I say as someone who also is not a person who is savvy in that way at all. Okay, I'm just going to do this quick squiggle. It's kind of annoying to explain. I don't want to annoy you. So, but just within a few seconds, just tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Here I go.
Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to do this, what can only be called rudimentary calculations. I'm going to come back with your 100% guaranteed fictional MASH future.
All right. I can't
wait. Great. Thank you for that enthusiasm. All right.
Oh, boy,
we're back.
Man.
I've never said that like that before. I've never said it like a cheesy radio DJ.
Yeah.
I hope I never will again.
Do you ride that life cycle?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I got it when I got back from one of the hottest summers of shooting in Georgia I had ever experienced.
Okay.
And also in Atlanta, you know, on a hot summer day, the air quality index, like the air index.
It gets bad.
There's like announcements.
Yeah.
Like, please do not breathe when you go outside. Please, yeah. For the love of God. And I love cycling. And so I just started using like an indoor gym.
Okay.
Spin bike. And
now you love it.
Now I love it. Well, I would say I still prefer to cycle outside, but yeah. If it's
but
just
you like the life cycle as opposed to the Peloton.
I'm not a person who has any interest in like being in a class while in my home.
Okay,
I would rather just like be listening to something or, you know, sort of choose my own music or watch TV or whatever. I've done a lot of spin classes in my day. I feel like I've learned enough that that stuff is sort of ingrained. So I feel like I'm bringing all that to the table myself.
Got it.
Peloton. Okay. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is good. I'm very pleased with this. First of all, I want to congratulate you. I don't know why this makes me laugh because mansion, apartment, shack and house again is MASH. So that's a built in, the fact that you have an apartment in Maui just made me laugh really quick.
Thank you.
It may or may not be right on the beach. I don't know. Listen,
all right.
That's valuable property.
Okay.
So you got a beautiful apartment in Maui, where you can have unlimited amounts of fried chicken and peanut butter cups.
Oh, dude, this is the best.
Which, by the way, I would fully eat at the same time. Fried chicken and peanut butter cups? This yeah, those great. Are both going in my mouth simultaneously. I have no problem with it. You can Also, listen, you may have built the whole building because you were amazing at construction.
All right, cool.
So build yourself. You can build yourself a boat.
Yeah.
You have also had an amazing career collaboration with Mr. Eddie Murphy.
Wow,
so can you cross that off your list? That's going to be very cool. I'm excited to see what that looks like. Do you need a break from all this? You maybe just want like some relaxing time elsewhere, like in the non-relaxing movie Total Recall? Rest assured.
But in that reality, you can, where I can make memories of anything I want.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Oh. God, you really got me on the thing within a thing within a thing. I have to assume you're going to be hanging out with Quato.
Yes, as much as I'm possible. Part of the resistance.
He reminds me a lot of Bud Cort, the actor. Which
nobody wants to but I mean, remind like, somebody
listen,
of.
Listen, the next
Quato.
Time you go back and revisit it, I bet okay. you're going to be like, especially his voice, you're like, is that Harold from Harold and Maude coming
no.
out of that body? Quato. Okay. And I think that just leaves us with the fantastic friendship you have with the members of A Tribe Called Quest to the point
oh,
where
that's
like
cool.
they're just like jamming
Very
with you
cool.
hanging out whenever you want. And on your arm is none other than the very, very beautiful and very kind Halle Berry.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this is the best.
She is, in my experience, a nice lady. My limited experience.
I mean, I'm having a wonderful time.
Right?
Life is good.
This is why we finish with a MASH game, because it gives you a boost, gets you back on your way.
I love it.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That leaves us with one final piece, which will take us right on out to the end,
okay.
which is to revisit the Don Henley song, Boys of Summer.
Oh, that's right. I have to sing it?
I mean, whatever that means to you.
I can't tell you our love for you will still be strong after the boys of summer have gone. New York Minute.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.